and welcome to Wonder Pod. It's episode 67, but it's also our second annual E3 Spectacular. We won't be entirely wrapping up the show for you, but we'll just be telling you about the shit we cared about and yammering on about other stuff. So it's a little different this week, but you'll get the gist of it as you listen. Glacinator is currently flying a plane or delivering a baby. I can't remember. So he's going to join us whenever he gets here. But with me right now, you know him, you love him, it's Patrick.
What is going on, people? E3 episode 2 special, whatever you want to call it. I've confirmed that Glacinator is both delivering a baby and flying a plane at the same time. He will be here soon, though, I believe.
And the plane is full of fucking snakes.
Yes, yes.
He might be delivering snake babies. We're not 100% sure on that. Poor kid. We abuse him even when he's not here. What have you been playing this?
Huh? He has no sound files to retaliate with.
To defend himself with?
Yeah.
He needs one that just goes, "You two suck." Now that we discussed it pre-show and figured out, because we're old farts, what have you been playing this week, Patrick?
Not much. With the E3 going on, I've been spending a lot of time looking at all the stuff I cannot play, but sometime in the future I probably will be playing. Man, I think I need another job just to play half these games. There's so many. But anyways, what I have been playing, speaking of E3, which we'll be speaking a lot of, I did download the absolute free Excitebike 3D for the 3DS. That's right, the 3DS eShop is now open, so to speak. That was basically the day of the Nintendo press conference, so a few days ago. Quite a few stuff on there, some pretty cool videos, but of course I'm just pushing the play button on the videos, but they really show off how nice the 3DS games look on the 3DS, a big difference compared to what you see on YouTube and on videos or whatever. But anyways, back to Excitebike 3D. It's exactly what, well, it's Excitebike, exactly what you remember it as. This is the Nintendo Entertainment System original version, only now it's in 3D. The 3D, obviously, it works, but it's not really that impressive in my opinion, but I mean, it's tacked on, right? This is an NES game that they're putting 3D effects on. When you slide the 3DS slider up and down, you can see there is a 3D difference, but it's not huge. It's not like some of these Star Fox that I just saw or something like that that looks amazing. It's fun. It's Excitebike, you know? If you liked that game, and many people did, you're going to like it again. There's not much change to it, but I've had a lot of fun playing with it. I'm going to go back and play with it some more. I haven't played enough. You know, it's my motto. If it's free, it's for me. As a matter of fact, and it's unfortunate that Mr. Glazenator isn't here because he is the big Pokemon fan. I'm not a Pokemon fan, never have been. That's the one franchise, really, in Nintendo's history of their big franchises that I just never caught on. Maybe I was getting too old when it first came out. I don't know. But there's a 3D Pokedex, as it's called. I'll let Glazenator explain that in the future because I'm not big on Pokemon, but that's one of two things that were free on the eShop for the 3DS, so that's always good. Aside from that, I went back and I played with Mr. Bruce McGee. We went back and we played Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing. I mean, we just keep coming back to this game because it's simple fun, it's bright, it's colorful. It's a great racer on the Xbox 360. I think it's on the Wii too, but obviously you'd go with Mario Kart on the Wii. It's available, I think, on all platforms, even the Nintendo DS, I think. I played a demo for that at one point. Anyways, this is the 360 version. Lots of fun. You play online. You can play with randoms. What we like to do is play with bots. You can have an entire race filled with bots and only one other person online. Good fun. Very much like Mario Kart. One of the best Mario Kart clones out there, period. Lots of fun with that. Speaking back on the 3DS, looking at all this cool stuff coming from the 3DS, I went back and I played Pilot Wings a little bit. Not my favorite game of all time, but when you're starved for games on your Nintendo system, you'll go back and play whatever you have. It's good. It's fun. It's slow-paced, in my opinion. You know, they could have had a little more to it It's definitely more than a tech demo, but not a full-fledged game. I think Glazenator and I had similar opinions about it. But hey, Pilot Wings is worth a shot. That is really all that I can remember, aside from the usual Halo Reach and Left 4 Dead and stuff like that with the WonderPod crew. That is it for this week that I've been playing.
Yes, if you want to play with the WonderPod crew playing Sega Mario Kart, I highly recommend you dig up a copy. It took me a little bit to find one when Patrick and I first talked about playing it, but it's fun, and that's the thing. I mean, yeah, it's Mario Kart to a certain extent, but at the same time, it's Mario Kart, but without the friend codes, without the bullshit. Not all of us have DSs. Not all of us are in the same general area. Glacinator lives in a swamp. I live in a porta toilet. Patrick lives in luxury in Calgary because he's a government employee. So Sonic and Sega is fun because you get the fun of Mario Kart, but it's for the 360. So there you go on that. I also finally sat down and finished Portal, the original Portal. Here, for you Portal heads or Portal lovers, is what you'll find either hilarious or enraging about this. Really don't have a ton of money right now, so I was just digging back through my game catalog, games I've kept, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll finish the original Portal. And my first thought was, okay, I'm going to load up my save game, but if it's like too confusing and I'm not sure what the hell I'm doing or not sure I really want to deal with this, I'll just start over. So I loaded up my save game. I was in test chamber 18. It dawned on me as soon as I loaded it up that there's only one test chamber after 18. Now, 18 to me was a royal pain in the ass because of the heights of the jumps you had to do, and I kept dying and dying and dying and gave up. But I felt so ridiculous personally that I was at 18 that I went, okay, that's it. I'm finishing this son of a bitch. Not so I can go with the cake as a lion, do all the stupid mims, just because it's like, dude, you need to finish the game. So I beat Portal. Yeah, GLaDOS is funny, da-da-da-da-da, the boss battle's great, blah, 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 whatever. It was an interesting experience. The original Portal was an amazing game. It's obviously why it got a sequel. I definitely know that I will be picking up the sequel in the future. Played a wee bit of Minecraft, not a ton. I only really played it to be able to write a second Minecraft diary, which you can go find at the website if you want. What else? I had one more. We played Sega and Sonic, played some Fruit Ninja on my iPhone, played some demos, played some Left 4 Dead and Halo with the guys. Here's the thing though, listeners, that you'll find hilarious. If you have never gone to get the demo for Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix, Gran Turismo, whatever the hell it's called, don't bother with it. I'm kind of doing a PSA right here. Don't bother with it. Because I decided I wanted to see if I still sucked as bad as I used to at fighting games. So I downloaded this demo. Here's the problem. All you can play on the demo is local multiplayer, meaning you have to have a second person here, and they have to have a controller. You can't play single player. You can't play with your buddies over Xbox Live. All you could play is local multiplayer. Pissed me off so much that I didn't care anymore about fighting games. So there you go, a little PSA with the end of what I've been playing. And while I was yammering on, Glacinator has now joined us from delivering snake babies while landing a plane, or whatever we said in the opening. Glacinator, what have you been playing this week?
I haven't really been playing that much due to all the E3 news and press conferences and whatnot. But on, I don't know if Pat mentioned this already, but on, if he did, then stop me. But on Monday, Nintendo released two free things for the 3DS, a 3D Pokedex and Excitebike 3D. The 3D Pokedex, which you download from the new eShop that came out on Monday as well, is actually pretty cool. You think it's just a Pokedex, you know, just like a Pokemon, but the models are surprisingly really pretty. You can change the background, you can see all the stats and whatnot. If you're a big Pokemon guy, this would help if you're trying to look at Pokemon stats and make your team balanced and whatever. There's also a little feature where you can take pictures with your Pokemon as well, put them into different environments, and you can scan little little cards, well, not cards, but like little symbols, which will put other Pokemon into your 3D Pokedex. So just like in the normal Pokemon, you do have to collect them all to get other stuff. And Excitebike 3D is basically just your normal Excitebike, but with 3D involved. There's a track editor as well, which is a lot easier to use. I actually prefer to play with the 3D off, and it's not because of the 3D is bad or anything, but it's because that when you slide it to 3D, it increases the depth, thus making your little motorcycle guy really small. And the 3DS screen is already pretty small, and so you're looking at like a centimeter tall guy on the screen going around, so it's really hard to see what you're doing. So I prefer to play on just 2D. Not that the 3D looks bad, it's just that everything is really small. I also went back and I played some more LA Noire the other day. I finally got past the boring case, which is what I'm going to call it. And the detective finally realized that this killer is probably a serial killer. I mean, you know this from the beginning. He just finally realizes it, and it's like, thank gosh, we finally got past the boring stuff. Besides that, I played some Halo with the crew, played some Firefight for once, now that I have my good internet. And, yeah, basically that's it.
You segued nicely because Patrick mentioned the Pokedex, but he said that you would have to explain it because he's not a Pokemon fan, so that was perfect, so I didn't stop you. Right. From either of you, how much is Link to the Past? How much did they end up pricing that on the eShop? I know I already know a ton of nerds that have bought it, but I was curious what the price was for Link to the Past.
I think it's, at least here in Canada, maybe they price things differently. I have no idea. It was $4.99, I think, here. It might be cheaper in the States.
Doubtful.
I'm booting it up right now, so you guys keep talking. I'll find it.
Blah, blah, blah.
I just was curious, and I'll tell you what, that may hurt your wallet a little bit. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting from you, Pat. But that's really no different than a higher-end iPhone game. And the couple higher-end iPhone games I bought, $3.99 to $4.99 range, I've been really happy with. I mean, I'd like Resident Evil. Oh, that's what I forgot to talk about when I was playing. I finally beat Resident Evil 4 on the iPhone, or it beat me, one of the two. The last boss was Genobla. I'm kidding, but it was Pyramid Head. No, it was Pinhead. No, anyways, but that was like a $3.99 game. Normally, I mean, I picked it up. They had like some one-day sale to launch it for like 99 cents, but it was definitely worth the full purchase price. My biggest problem with Resident Evil 4 on the iPhone was I was too retarded to use the touchpad at first. That was my issue, not the games. So, I mean, because it really played like Resident Evil 4, which I had played on, what, the 64 or the Cube? Help.
That's GameCube.
Cube. Yep. Okay. So a Link to the Past for that is pretty good. Folks, I apologize again. Like I said, we've all been paying attention to E3 all week, so our brains are all fried.
I have it right here, by the way. It's not Link to the Past, it's Link's Awakening, and it's $5.99.
So it's actually cheaper and it's the same price.
Yeah.
By the time you do exchange rates, $6.
Yeah, the thing I noticed though with the eShop is that there's nothing that's 99 cents. Which is kind of weird, because I really don't want to pay $2 for tic-tac-toe, you know?
So $2 for tic-tac-toe is anal rapage, but
yeah.
I'm not going to start landing on Nintendo just yet.
Okay, yeah.
The eShop just opened, so it took the App Store a long time before it was anything resembling okay. So, you know, we'll give Nintendo a little bit of time on that. But, yeah, $2.99 for tic-tac-toe. How about tic-tac up yours? Okay, so that's what we've been playing. Link's Awakening, by the way, was announced at E3. So now we don't have to talk about that during the Nintendo press conference, or as I like to call it, the Jizz Fest from Hell. We aren't doing anything normal in the show, but Audio Master G, who's a fine audio engineer, good buddy of ours, also writes on WonderPod Online, asked if he could do a quick PSA for his cousin, Survivornaut G. And so I said, you know what, man, it's E3 show, but sure, why not? So no question from any of the G family this week, but this is just a PSA. we really try to help the G family out whenever we can, so take it away, Audio Master G.
What's up, WonderPodOnline.com crew? Hi, Audio Master G here, in a rare appearance from the snowy tundra of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. The heartland, if you will. And my heart goes out to the good folks worldwide listening to this fine podcast about video games and new media appreciation. From Newfoundland to Ohio, Wales to Louisiana, California to Tokyo, Scotland, and even to the depths of the cosmos. And while we celebrate E3 and all things new in the medium of video games, I'd like to thank the podcast crew for giving me a little time to address the search for Survivor Not G, my 5-time removed cousin. Since my appearance on episode 50, a number of leads have come in to my family in search of her lost relative. A special thanks to the podcast for managing to remain in contact with him, and we've been able to learn that he is no longer trapped in parts unknown. Sadly, a space reconnaissance mission to the Asteroid Analysis Research Station proved unsuccessful as Survivor Not G had left back into the dark void of outer space. We suspect he may still be floating in the vast expanse over a planet that might be Earth. My family and I urge anyone who might spot a small vessel or an escape Wonder Pod in the sky to contact WonderPodOnline@gmail.com. That's WonderPodOnline@gmail.com with any information to his location. Once again, thanks to all of you in our listening audience for this time, and I hope your E3 euphoria and enthusiasm treats you well. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of Stampede Wrestling. Thank you, WonderPod crew, for letting me talk to you fine folks. Bye now.
And that was the Audio Master G PSA. We're really hoping that the extended G family can find their long lost cousin sooner or later. So there you have it. Wow,
I hope later. I hope later, because he always asks good questions.
Yeah, I think the only one that wants him found is Audio Master G. The rest of us want him to stay wherever he's at.
His continuing adventures are good too, but I understand, Mr. G. You need your family back.
Thank you for saving me there, by the way. I was really running the hell out of gas and didn't know what to do. I do know what to do now. So we're going to segue into E3. It was a big show this week. It was a wee bit overwhelming. I was lucky enough Monday to be able to stay here in the office, or my office, and work, one screen with work and one screen with E3. And so Glason Hader and I both sat through a shitload of press conferences. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through the big three's press conference. I'm going to start with Microsoft since they were first out of the gate. I'm going to read through quickly the gist of what Microsoft announced for those three people that didn't pay any attention this week. And then we're going to discuss Microsoft's press conference. So here we go. They had a live demo of MW3. Okay, if you look at my smart-ass notes, it says looks like MW2, and Robert Bowling's controller died on stage, and he had to reconnect it, which was hilarious. Some people were claiming it might have been a video. It looked like gameplay to me. Let's see, what do we got? Tomb Raider prequel. I liked the Tomb Raider prequel. That wasn't too bad, although she sounded like she was either grunting or orgasming. I'm not really sure. Peter Moore from EA Sports came out and talked about a bunch of games that none of our listening audience gives a crap about. What else we got here? But Peter Moore did say that Tiger Woods Golf will be Kinect compatible. That was kind of interesting. BioWare came out with Mass Effect 3. They're going to have support for Kinect, voice recognition for the conversations, and to be able to move your team around in Mass Effect 3. Next was Tom Clancy Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Some French guy mumbling on stage. Had Kinect for weapon optimization. Looked really cool in the tech demo, at least. Future Soldier looks really good and like a Ghost Recon, except Ghost Recon smashed head on with Rainbow Six, if you ask me. Next was the XBLA entertainment portion, more Kinect gadgets, new dashboard, which I, even if you don't have Kinect, I thought looked really, really good. three big announcements. YouTube on Xbox Live, which I thought, while probably not up everybody's alley, was a pretty good snag by Microsoft. There will be Bing search. I guess they couldn't work out a deal with Google. And then there was some kind of live TV, but I was zoning out at that point, and I'm not really sure what the package is going to be. And then next they had UFC is coming to Xbox Live. Sounds like you'll be able to get stats, updates about UFC. There were some jokes about being able to bet on the UFC matches, maybe even watch them on Xbox Live. They didn't really give full details of what that's going to be, but it appears that Microsoft's going with a little bit more sports-oriented, which, a segue, and then Cliffy B and Ice-T. Yes, the rapper Ice-T came out. They played some Gears of War. The biggest thing about the Gears of War demo from the Xbox or the Microsoft press conference was the Kraken and Chalutha jokes, because the boss looks like the Kraken from Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm sure even if you didn't watch E3, you heard Halo CE anniversary. It's going to come out November 15th, according to our very own Patrick and other sources. It's going to be $39.99. Patrick knows these things because he sleeps with Master Chief. Forza 4 demo looked really good. Peter the Liar, Peter Molyneux came out, Fable Journey trailer. It's an evil, ugly rail shooter for Kinect. Then there was the Star Wars one, was also for Kinect. Disneyland Adventures, where you could take a virtual tour of Disneyland for Kinect. Tim Schafer and Double Fine are making a Kinect game with Sesame Street. I saw the gaming press give this a lot of love only because it was Tim Schafer. The big one, the one that actually caught me off guard, Glacinator and I both were acting like little kids, Minecraft with Kinect support is coming to the Xbox 360. Kudu, the dude that never takes his sunglasses off, announced Kinect Fun Labs. At this point, according to WonderPod and WonderPod Online Research, it will not allow you to scan your balls or your butt, but it did lead to about 3 days worth of penis jokes. Let's see. Yeah, you even have here in my notes, ladies and gentlemen, my penis will be my avatar. Kinect Sports and Dance Central 2, the thing I thought about that was they should have really left it out of the press conference because everybody knew it was coming, and it was kind of silly. Then finally they showed the Halo 4 teaser, and that's all it was a teaser. You saw the inside of Master Chief's veins, and you found out that you can, yes, invent items while you're in a stasis pod. So there you go. That's the Microsoft wrap up. Hopefully I didn't take a ton of time doing that one. Patrick, what was your overall thoughts of Microsoft and their press conference?
I didn't get to see it live. I was like seeing these things live. I don't know why. I think it's kind of like more exciting. But I watched it over Xbox Live, pre-recorded, so it was all in high def and nice. Overall, I thought it was a pretty good show. I mean, they have covered a ton of entertainment. That's what the Xbox is. Yes, it's mostly for games, and they showed a ton of games and entertainment. I mean, whether it's core games, I mean, they start off with Modern Warfare 3. I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, Battlefield superior, and from the looks of it, it is. But I mean, they started off with hardcore games. They ended with, the big joygasm for all Halo Reach fans. I believe Carlos probably tied one off right there and then. As I know, Halo Reach fans, I mean, Master Chief fans. But, overall, I thought the thing was really good. They covered everything. They have Kinect. Kinect is their big thing, and they got a ton of games for Kinect. Whether it's Mass Effect or Ghost Recon that are using the connectivity, get it, connectivity to a lesser extent in hardcore games, or whether it's games like Fable and Wii Sports 2, Children of Eden, stuff like that, Star Wars, Kinect that, they're probably going to be on rails, but give the game a chance and find out. So I think they really covered all the bases. They got their kids stuff in for the kids, like you said, the Sesame Street games and the Walt Disney games. They got their hardcore stuff there. And then they're branching out into this television thing that I don't think they're 100% sure what they're going to get. I think they're still in the negotiations phase with that because they seemed almost a little vague on some of the major details there. I think maybe they thought they'd have everything ironed out before E3. But hey, if there's some way of getting free TV, I'll check it out. So I really think they covered everything, and that's what they want to do with the Xbox. They don't just want to do the hardcore. It's there. You got two Halo games, people. You've got Gears of War. You've got racing games. You've got all sorts of stuff. But they also have the entertainment. They had Facebook and Twitter in the past, and now they have YouTube, and they've got Kinect. Overall, I think they hit all the bases really well, you know. I think it was probably the best press conference in getting everyone they can and getting all of, you know, people's money and people's attention.
Claysonator, your thoughts on Microsoft?
I guess the way that people feel, the majority of people feel on the internet right now is everyone's complaining that Microsoft is shoving Kinect down everyone's throat. And where I can understand why people are saying that, I can see where they're coming from. It really is not as bad as you're making it out to be, people. All right. I did think that the way that they're incorporating Kinect with these more hardcore like games with voice commands and Mass Effect 3 and the moving your hands around to open up weapons and customize parts in Ghost Recon, I like those things. I like how they're slowly assimilating motion controls into games. It's not necessarily wiggle waggle like the Wii was. It's a little bit more refined than that. So I don't mind that this exists. I mean, I'm completely fine with that. But what I didn't like is what Bruce mentioned was with Kinect Sports and everything. When it's just a solid Kinect where you know it's just wiggle waggle, like, I don't really like those games, so I really thought that they could have just skipped over that. I didn't have a problem with when it was a hardcore game and Kinect together, or even the Sesame Street game. I mean, I can see that appeals to kids. That makes sense to me. But it got a little long towards the end. I got a little bored, and Bruce even doubted that they're going to show Halo 4 at the very end, but I knew that they're going to have to show it because you can't end on Dance Central. People would bring pitchforks and fire and set Microsoft on fire. So I think overall, after it was done, I gave it a B, which compared to the rest of the internet is very high. So it wasn't an amazing press conference, but it wasn't bad. So people are hating on it too much for the wrong reasons. So, yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, and we're going to talk about this much more detailed when we wrap up our thoughts on E3, but you all are a bunch of spoiled brats. I don't know how you can reasonably expect a company not to showcase a product or a peripheral that they put a lot of money into and that they have sold a lot of units of. So a lot of you, and this is coming from people who are really intelligent and have well thought out opinions, you're being assholes. Okay? The Microsoft press conference wasn't great. It wasn't surprise after surprise after surprise, but it did what it had to do. I don't know what some of these people are expecting, but I got pretty much what I expected. As Glazenator just said, Microsoft really screwed the pooch by even bothering with Dance Central and Kinect Sports because we already know about the franchise. We know you're going to make 27 different versions of them. New Kinect games, like Tim Schafer's Sesame Street thing, you know, like the two on-rail shooters, and I'm still trying to do the deciphering to figure out when on rails became the most hated thing in North America, but apparently it is now. I didn't get the memo. You know, and I mean, like Glazenator also said, the integration to Kinect is for one optional and for two being done the proper way. I sat there and watched that Ghost Recon thing. And while the shooting did not look that impressive to me, the guy taking apart the gun and modifying it and customizing it looked really awesome. Overall, though, I'm not even going to give grades to these press conferences. When we wrap up just the press conference portion, I'll have a bit more to say. But overall, Microsoft did what it needed to do. They could have left out a little Kinect. And here's the other thing people just glossed over or aren't thinking about. EA had its own press conference where they showed Battlefield 3, Mass Effect, and some of the other games. So it couldn't really be at the Microsoft press conference. Okay, some of the hardcore titles that everybody's clamoring for really weren't going to be incorporated in the Microsoft press conference because they're A, multi-platform, and B, they had their own damn press conferences. So, you know, to sit there and go, well, there wasn't enough hardcore games, you're being stupid. You know, again, Microsoft's was fair enough. Let's move on to the second one, and from my Twitter feed and reports on the ground, it was a ginormous affair that lasted several hours, even including the press conference. That would be Sony's. Here's the thing. Sony tried to do this pre-conference show. It was dumb as hell. They had this, like, Entertainment Tonight rip-off host and hostess. The only interview that they had that would have been good was Dale North of Destructoid and Rigudi Arias of PlayStation, or Sony, America in general. That would have been a good one. You dipshits, but no. No, you cut to that because we had to watch a dead camera look at some fat dude in the audience for 30 minutes. So, Sony already had me a little cranky. Let's actually move on to the press conference, but if you missed the live feed of the press conference, that's kind of what you got. It was, first out was Jack Trenton, president of Sony. He came out to talk about the PSN hack. He tried to make a joke about giving journalists something to talk about. I thought it was really, really poorly done. Thanked the third party and retail partners for sticking with them. Gave a nice song and dance about consumers. Gave a very short apology. And then went on to try or to tell us that 90% of people who were using PSN before have come back. Or more, it's, you know, the apology was not horrible, but yeah, we'll get into that. Naughty Dog showed us a demo of Uncharted 3, looked awesome. It's a reason, hack and all, to buy a PS3 as far as I'm concerned, but they put multiplayer in it. Jack Trenton rambled along a little bit more, Insomniac Games. Kate showed up with a Resistance 3 demo. I didn't know the Resistance 3 or the Resistance franchise was still in existence. What else do I got here? They're redoing Ico and Shadow of the Colossus in HD and 3D, plus the God of War games from PSP. That actually kind of had my interest a little bit. And then they got to this one part where they had a PS branded 3D display. It's 24 inches, comes with a set of 3D glasses and an HD cable, and Resistance 3. The whole kit was $4.99. Now, the selling point of this kit was you could play split screen on this 3D display without the actual horizontal line, or excuse me, vertical line going down the screen. Here's the thing about that, though, that you should be aware that if you want a second set of glasses to play co-op or whatever, or split screen with your buddies, the glasses alone are $70, better than the $150 they were last year. I'm hearing kind of mixed reviews on this split screen with no line. Sounds like it wasn't perfect. NBA 2K with move support. Kobe Bryant came out to play with one of the guys from 2K. Thought that they really went Sony on this and did some cheap-ass LeBron Miami Heat jokes, which I thought were pathetic. Next was Medieval Move for the PS Move. It looked pretty decent, but the star of the show was Jeremy, who was being ordered around by the producer of the game. It was rather hilarious. Infamous
yes,
trail.
Jeremy.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, he became the mem of E3. I thought it was going to be those creepy fist bump kids from the Disneyland Adventures, but it actually became Jeremy. Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't watch the press conference, this producer of this game, Medieval, is talking to Jeremy and talking to the audience like he's surprised by all these different things coming up in this demo. in this playthrough demo. It was just, you had to see it. Go find it on YouTube. It was worth it just for poor Jeremy.
The guy didn't even like accredit him. Like he always complimented all the other games. I forgot. Do you remember that?
No.
Like after the game was done, they didn't even say anything about the game.
Oh yeah.
It was just so bad. They just stopped talking about it.
Infamous trailer, which Infamous is now out, so there you go. Starhawk trailer. I actually kind of liked the Starhawk trailer, but I played Warhawk. And then the one that really got me the surprise from the Sony press conference was Sly Cooper 4. It was just a trailer. Trailer was cool. It's out 2012. And then you had CCP Studios with Dust. If you're not familiar with CCP Studios, they made EVE Online. Dust is going to be PS3 exclusive. It's a persistent real-time shooter, and it can be linked with PC to EVE Online. Now, while neither EVE Online or this Dust 514 game looked really all that great to me, I'm going to give Sony some props for continuing to work to try and link the PlayStation and the PC, yada, yada, yada. BioShock Infinite trailer, Microsoft lost out. Ken Levine came out, talked about how he really kind of hated Move, thought it was stupid, and then he used it a little bit, and so now they're experimenting with Move support on BioShock Infinite, but it is optional. and then we got to the part of the show called Piss Bruce Off. Let's see. Saints Row will have exclusive content on PS3. All the EA games will have exclusive content on PS3. The only exclusive that I saw for PlayStation fans, Battlefield 3 will have on the Blu-ray disc a copy of Battlefield 1943. Now, if you haven't played that game, that would be pretty cool. But this exclusive shit's just dumb. And believe me, none of it was making me go, oh man, I need to go buy a PS3. They have a PS Suite app for non-PS hardware. They were kind of not real clear on it, but I was curious. It made me curious. And then finally, the PS Vita, which we will get into names of things a little later, but I am convinced that the gaming industry uses a rabid weasel, ferret, or hedgehog to name their devices, and it's always stupid. There was a lot of stuff on this PS Vita. Here's the thing that you need to know. A lot of games were announced. Looks like a lot of ports, Mod Nation, a social action RPG called Ruin, Street Fighter versus Tekken, EA, Ubisoft, and Activision's all on board. It's going to be out holiday 2011. The price for the Vita is going to be for the Wi-Fi model will be $250. The 3G model will be $300. That part surprised me a little bit. I was impressed with Vita, but that part surprised me a little bit. Overall, that was Sony's press conference in a nutshell. Glacinator, what did you think about Sony and their presentation?
Well, up until the PS Vita, it was just sort of okay. I mean, I don't own any PlayStation consoles, so there was nothing really that made me want to go out and buy a PS3 right away. It was just like, okay, that looks like a good game. Next game. Yada, yada, yada. There wasn't anything that really stood out to me. One thing that did was sort of funny was earlier in the press conference, they tried to take a hit at Microsoft by saying that, oh, we're Sony. We don't need to bring out any special guests or anything to show our stuff. And yet they had a good 3-minute trailer of them showing off. No, was that Sony or was that EA? You know what? I'm not even making any sense anymore. Forget I said that. That was
yeah, EA. It wasn't Sony because they had Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, EA, never mind. EA is an idiot, so forget what I said. But anyway, there wasn't really anything that was super interesting. Only thing that really caught my eye was Sly 4 and BioShock Infinite. Other than that, it was just games that were just games. They didn't really appeal to me. But the PS Vita really caught my eye. And the fact that it's the same price as the 3DS does say something about it. I like the two touchscreens. They have the one on the front and they have the one on the back. I like that is more Wi-Fi capabilities and just the eShop, like the DS. So I could see myself buying this maybe if there is a software to match it. So just for the PS Vita, I was impressed. I remember even saying in the chat that we had going that I like this, and I was disturbed that I like this because I usually don't like Sony stuff. So that does say something about this system. So really, for me, it was just games, so what, and then PS Vita, pretty much.
Patrick, your thoughts on Sony's press conference?
I didn't watch the Sony press conference. I've always been, since the NES, a Nintendo fan, and since the 360 came out, a Microsoft fan. I don't think I have time, physical time in the universe to be all three. So I was listening to what you were saying, and I mean, I've picked up bits and pieces. Just like Glacinator, as far as the games are concerned, nothing really seemed to excite me that much. But that's because, as I've said, I don't own a PlayStation 3. I'm sure there's some content there that PlayStation owners are very excited about, and good for them. It's interesting that they mentioned in jest at the beginning about all the problems and giving the media something to write about. I thought that was kind of weird. I'm not going to talk too much about stuff that I'm not a big, really interested in, but I will definitely talk about this PlayStation Vita or Vista or whatever the official name is for that thing. Very, very impressive looking handheld. Technology wise, as far as processor and stuff like that, looks to be superior to the Nintendo 3DS in pretty much every way. I like the weird back touch screen. I'm sure there'll be ways developers will be able to do some unique and interesting things with it. I think for the first time ever in Nintendo's history, they have a legitimate contender for number of units sold. They have a legitimate competition. That's good, because I mean, if Nintendo sits on their butts printing money all day, with the exception of the 3D technology, we're not going to get a lot of innovation. So I think this is a good thing as a Nintendo fan that there is such an interesting and cool looking portable from Sony. Last time around with the PlayStation Portable, they did okay, I guess, after a bunch of years, but they never really took on Nintendo head on. So I think this time it's going to be interesting. I could see Nintendo maybe being forced to drop the price of the 3DS if they're both going to be $250 when they come out. It was interesting. Bruce and I, we had a little discussion about that. We're talking about whether or not, so, you know, who's making all the money here? Well, I found an article where, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Hira from Sony. Anyways, he told Reuters that it's going to be 3 years until PlayStation Vita will turn a profit. So I guess there's our answer. So they'll be losing money on units sold at that $250 price. But as a Nintendo fan, hey, maybe that means they're going to be forcing Nintendo to make some new stuff.
Yes, competition is always good.
It is. It's a pretty cool little system, though. I'd like to learn more in the future.
You mean Kaz Hayashi?
Sure.
Of Sony.
Yeah, no, Hirai. Sony's Yuri, I don't know. Anyways, they told Reuters. I apologize. I can't pronounce any.
If he's telling Reuters News Service that, Pat, are you pretty much wrapped up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. First off, I know it's so cool to hate the Miami Heat, and three quarters of you only do it because it's the thing to do or because you're irrational shitheads because LeBron didn't come to your team. But I had no business in a gaming press conference, so I saw a little too much of the old Sony. I thought that Jack Trenton could have done a better job apologizing, taking pot shots at the media, and then telling us immediately how well PSN's doing since the hack, while other arms of the Sony online business, namely their movie studios and music group, have been hacked as well. It's just Sony. I mean, they did it right by not having Kevin Butler and other loudmouth morons. I mean, if you wanted to see the loudmouth moron portion of E3, you should have watched the Ubisoft press conference with Mr. Caffeine. Oh, dear God in heaven. But Sony just cannot help themselves and be arrogant and just go for cheap shots. It pissed me off last year with their PS3 press conference. It pissed me off again this year. Although they did not do as bad at apologizing for being utter dipshits at online as I thought they would. I might have even been willing to give them a good job out of it if they left the cheap shot at the press out. Again, it's like the haters not understanding why Microsoft's talking about Kinect. How is the press supposed to ignore a giant data breach, Mr. Trenton? I just really don't understand that. As far as the actual content, snarky dipshittedness aside, Uncharted 3 just looked brilliant, as always. Sly Cooper, I love the Sly Cooper series. Haven't been a humongous fanboy, but there's just something about him I've always liked. So that got me going. But it comes down to really the PS Vita. And the Vita is interesting because with what Patrick just told me, they haven't learned. They tried this with the PS3 and it bit them in the ass. They lost an ass ton of money. Their stock went down and basically it eventually got a CEO early retirement or the golden handshake. So if they're selling these Vitas at a loss, trying to compete with Nintendo, since it's a handheld and probably costs them less overall to make over the PS3 console, maybe it'll work this time, but that is really, from a business perspective, troubling to me. Like these guys, I believe that competition is good, but if in the end it's going to hurt you, or for some reason there's no software side to it, or not enough software side to keep the spoiled brats happy, it's not going to take much for Sony to lose their asses on it again. As we'll get into with the Nintendo press conference, I think they've got a pretty fair shot given when the bulk of the 3DS software is coming out and when the PS Vita is coming out. We'll just have to wait and see how many launch titles there are. But I said immediately after that press conference was over, and then I said it later to Patrick, as he said, if they're selling these things at a loss again, it may come back to bite them. And as Patrick just said from Reuters, they are doing that again. But hey, if they think they can get away with it, and if they think they can compete with Nintendo, then by all means, because competition, no matter what kind of console or company fanboy you are, competition is good. And it will only help to make the marketplace a better thing. So that's Sony. Wasn't near as arrogant and jackassed as last year. I didn't have to tolerate Kevin Butler or a loudmouth kid. So the PSN hack wasn't good for anybody, but at least did keep us from having to deal with that. Finally, the Nintendo press conference. I'm going to do the last part first. Yes, they released a new console. It's called the Wii U. Again, dumbest goddamn name possible. It's got a controller with an LCD screen in it. It's got touch. It's got motion control. And it's also got a console. There were people trying to convince me that the whole entire console was in the controller. And while the controller is rather large, it needed something else. It needed something you could stick discs into. A lot of cool things with this new console. Being able to take the game from the TV to the controller. The backwards compatibility with all the Wiimote stuff. Right now, the two things you should be aware of is it sounds like you can only get one controller and you have to buy the console to get it. I don't know how long Nintendo's going to last at that, and it's completely unconfirmed at this time, although I've read it in quite a few places. The console, of course, is now HD. They're saying they're going to have online play. In fact, they are supposedly scrapping the much-hated friends codes for basically an Xbox Live-style friends list, which could be a very good thing. We will get into the console itself after we wrap up the press conference portion of the show. So I kind of wanted to talk about the Wii U first, and we'll get into that. That out of the way, the press conference itself opened with a Zelda montage with a full orchestra, which I have to admit, I nerded out to it. It was friggin' awesome. Shigeru Miyamoto came out. He talked about the 25th anniversary of Zelda, music for Zelda. I get a kick out of Miyamoto. I mean, he actually worked with a translator this year, which was probably a good thing, although they both talked at once and it was kind of unnerving. I thought the Zelda stuff went on a little long, but like I said, there's just something about Miyamoto. He's charismatic. He's fun to listen to, even if it's a translator telling you what he's saying. As we talked about in the first part of the show, Link's Awakening 3DS was in the eShop today. They said next weekend, Legend of Zelda Ocarina 3D. I'm not 100% sure now that I look at that.
Yeah, it's next weekend.
Next week sometime. Next week? Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, there's going to be a Master Quest mode and a boss Master mode. I guess that's correct. And then coming in June, I believe, Four Sword Adventures.
In June?
Zelda. Or, did I say June? Maybe not. Maybe that's this September. Maybe that's this fall. My bad. Maybe it's this fall.
I
don't have a date on that.
Yeah.
My bad. But either way, Four Sword Adventures is coming, free to the Nintendo DSi, so if you have four friends with DSIs, you can play Four Sword Adventures. And if I recall correctly, if you had the $4 billion in hardware, Four Sword Adventures was pretty fun on the Cube and Game Boy Advanced.
Yes, I had it way back then. I had I play with my two other brothers. We had three Game Boy Advances, and you had to get three GBA connectors. Then it was expensive if you wanted to get the whole spiel. But it was a lot of fun. It was, I mean, multiplayer Zelda, you don't really see that. I mean, I guess it was the first multiplayer Zelda. Maybe the only one, I guess, besides the ones on the DS. But it really was a lot of fun. It had a lot of, you know, you being an asshole too with you stealing rupees from your friends. So I'm really looking forward to this on the DS this fall.
Okay, and then we get into Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. I was really impressed with the trailer and all the things I've seen from it. Really glad I have a Wii now. That's coming holiday 2011. You can get a gold Wiimote as well to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Zelda. Also with the 25th anniversary, they're going to have an orchestral concert tour around each region, meaning each region that they sell Nintendo stuff in, two music CDs. One is the Ocarina 3D music CD, which will be a gift if you're one of the first. They didn't specify how many. If you're one of the first to register with Club Nintendo when you buy Ocarina 3D, and then a 25th anniversary Zelda mixed CD that didn't really say exactly what it was, although it says with it, and that's going to be right around the same time as Skyward Sword. And then Satoru Iwata came out. He was talking demographics. He did a cafe teaser, which even got audible awes and "you bastard" basically from the audience. And this was the line of the press conferences and had me laughing. To quote Iwata, "The experience with the Wii U will be deeper and wider." And I mean, the man said it with a straight face. It was the greatest thing ever.
Hand gestures too. He did it.
I don't know. Like, I wasn't paying.
He opened his hands up, and this is funny.
Okay, I got to get through this. There, of course, they're going after all demographics. They had a video for Star Fox, Mario in the raccoon suit, Kid Icarus, Luigi's Mansion. That's for 3DS. Then Reggie Fils Me came out. Hamburger Boys, he's affectionately known around these parts. He came out to talk us up about the Project Cafe, and he did have one line that said, "It's not possible to please," or he said, we're going to attempt to please everybody. I have written here in my notes with multiple exclamation marks, "It is not possible to please everyone." So piss off, Reggie. Talked more about 3DS titles. The only thing I'm going to go into real quick was flying Mario Karts look pretty cool. Star Fox, you could use the button or the system to fly the thing around. Camera Face is coming in September, which will allow you to put your ugly mug on different characters and things. Mario 3DS, no release date. Kid Icarus Uprising, 3-on-3 multiplayer, no release date. Luigi's Mansion 2, Ghost Sucking at its finest, also no release date. They had a bunch of third party here for the 3DS. Resident Evil, Mercenaries, Sonic and Sega, and Mario go to the Olympics 2012, Metal Gear Solid, Snake Eater, Tekken, Ace Combat, Tetris, Cave Story, Resident Evil Revelations, Driver something or other, Pac-Man Galaga combo. And then they went on to the Nintendo eShop. We'll give you demos and so on and so forth later this year. 3D Excitebike, the Pokedex, which we already talked about. And then we got into the console announcements, some of the games. They showed footage of BioShock Infinite during this montage, but Ken Levine pointed out that they had no idea that BioShock Infinite was going to be on the Wii U. If you don't know who Ken Levine is, he's the man behind BioShock. So that was a mistake, but they were just showing a ton of games. There's no idea whether or not it's going to be a port, whether they're going to be tailored for the Wii U. You know, it's just all up in the air speculation at this point. The launch game for the Wii U will be Lego Cities, which I thought was rather hilarious. Although there will be Smash Brothers, and people are some, and they're claiming that that will cross platform between the 3DS and the Wii U. No idea as to how right at the moment. And then they had the montage I was talking about. They had Darksiders, Batman Arkham City, Ass Creed, Ghost Recon Future Soldier, Ninja Gaiden 3, Dirt, Metro, Aliens vs. Colonial Marines, which all Aliens vs. Colonial Marines told us was it existed, which made Jim Sterling very, very happy. So there you go. Okay, gentlemen. Patrick, I'm going to you first. We'll get into the Nintendo Wii U by itself here in a minute. What was your thoughts on the press conference from Nintendo minus the Wii U?
It was pretty good. It seemed a little less exciting than I thought it would be, even with the Wii U. Really, like, you gotta love Miyamoto or whatever. I mean, he's like a big kid, really. You know, his enthusiasm and his smile. I agree that when they were both talking at the same time, they should have put the microphone volume down considerably more on one of them so you could understand it a bit better. But the 25th anniversary stuff was cool. I thought it was funny. They did the wrong sound effect at one point, and Miyamoto had a look on his face of like, what? But it was good. I liked that stuff. It didn't go on. I thought it was going to go on and drag on, but they seemed to end it reasonably quickly, in my opinion. What else? Well, the only thing on the Wii at all that I give a crap about and that was really showcased, of course, is the Zelda game. Looks really cool to me. Sort of the Wind Waker vibe and feel, only maybe a little more, I don't know, different. I don't know if mature is the right word for it, but at least he's a lot more grown-up looking than in Wind Waker. Art style's pretty cool. You know, I think that's if it'll probably be the last Nintendo Wii game I ever buy. 3DS stuff was awesome. I think finally the 3DS games are being shown off. They were shown off at the press conference and we saw all the videos. They were also available to every Nintendo DS, 3DS owner who has an internet connection or a Wi-Fi hotspot. Go download all of these because the difference, and I'm sure Glazenator has done it by now, the difference between watching these on your computer, watching them on TV, and looking at them in 3D is significant. As a matter of fact, I was on the fence with buying Zelda or Ocarina of Time just because I don't spend as much time on handhelds as I do on consoles. I didn't think it would be worth playing such a big adventure game when I play for 20 or 30 minutes at a time. After I watched the trailer on my 3DS, in 3D, it changed my mind to go buy the damn thing. Very well done. Some of these games are absolutely gorgeous in 3D. My favorite one, my most anticipated one for sure, Mario Kart 3DS. Those carts just stick out of the screen and it looks like a lot of fun. The underwater stuff, the hand gliding stuff. The regular DS game is one of my favorite games ever, so the 3DS one is my most anticipated. Star Fox and Kid Icarus look awesome running in 3D on the 3DS. Most of these games, I mean, the new Mario game is pretty cool. It's got the tail from my favorite Super Mario 2D game, Mario 3. I believe Reggie did say sometime in 2011, but they don't have a release date. That's the kind of game or the type of game that I wouldn't be surprised if it gets pushed back. You know, it may not make it in 2011. They don't have an exact date. But all of these games look really good. For me, the big thing of the Nintendo press conference was all the 3DS software coming. Most of it I'm very impressed with. Even some of the stuff I've looked at, the Metal Gear Solid stuff looks pretty darn good. Resident Evil, I'm not 100% sure. For me, Resident Evil is hit and miss. But, oh, yeah, I'm going to be – even the Star Fox remake looks just great, the online. For me, it was all about 3DS this year. That was probably amongst all the shows my favorite thing. So for Nintendo, much more interesting for me than the Wii U was all the great 3DS software.
Glycinator, give us your thoughts on the Nintendo press conference minus Wii U.
I will be spending so much money on stuff. You don't even understand. There's so many 3DS games that I want to get. Not going to talk about the Wii U yet, but just 3DS-wise, there is so much stuff coming out that looks awesome. Literally looks awesome, even when you get download the demos on 3DS, like Pat said. And just like Pat, the last Wii game I'm probably going to get is Zelda Skyward Sword as well. I don't want to repeat anything that Pat said. He pretty much summarized exactly what has me excited. We both want Mario Kart. Demos look awesome. Glad they're showing software finally. Other than that, the multiplayer in Kid Icarus looks pretty cool. I'm not sure how that's going to work out, but I'm pretty excited for that. The Metal Gear Solid trailer on 3DS in 3D looks really, really good. There's an opening scene. He has a cigar and he throws it off and it flies in front of the camera and like messes with your eyes and comes back down. And another cool feature with Metal Gear Solid is you can scan in textures from the real world and he'll wear them like on his clothes. So you could like scan in your pants and he'll be like wearing your pants textures in the game, which seems pretty cool. So inevitably someone will probably scan their butt or something else, which will be amusing. But I don't repeat that much stuff, so I'll just go with Pat and say that I pretty much feel exactly the same as Pat does.
Here's the funny thing for me. I sit here week in and week out with two huge Nintendo heads who can just like ooze nostalgia out of them at any moment for Nintendo products. But even I have to admit, As the outside observer to a lot of this process, with I just had a mushroom go up my ass. That's what you heard. It felt wonderful. But anyways, as an outside observer to a lot of this process, even I got giddy and excited and happy watching all these different trailers. I mean, the Luigi's Mansion thing, Shit, Bruce. Luigi's Mansion thing got me really excited. Made me go, wow, maybe I need a 3DS. Because there's just something iconic about seeing all those old characters in such a slick HD. I mean, I haven't seen it in 3D yet, but I don't really think it looks better. But I don't really think you need to see it in 3D to understand how awesome and how far a lot of these characters have come. The Kid Icarus thing looked really awesome to me. As I said earlier, you know, maybe it's because it's Miyamoto. I wish they had kind of, like Patrick said, turned down Miyamoto's mic, because between the translator's voice and Miyamoto's body language, like him looking at the orchestra like they're a bunch of idiots for playing the wrong sound, he just, like I said in the opening, he just exudes charm. He looks like a guy, even though I probably couldn't understand a word he'd say, I'd like to go get a bottle of sake with, or whatever drink of choice for the gentleman. You know, so he just always seems like he's very enthusiastic. And I think part of what's so cool about that is he's been in the video game business forever. If there was ever to be a person who would be justifiably jaded by video game business, it would be Miyamoto. So, you know, just overall, I was really impressed with what Nintendo had to show. I found it really hilarious how the press and how a lot of people were going, Nintendo wins! Nintendo wins! You know, like it's the World Heavyweight Championship fight or something. I mean, Nintendo did a good job, and I'd say they were just a tier maybe half a tier above the other two, but in reality, they didn't really, other than Luigi's Mansion and actually seeing Kid Icarus Uprising and, you know, finally knowing what the console's name was, should have stuck with Cafe, you idiots. You know, I mean, really, all three press conferences were pretty much just, okay, cool. You know, but there's just something that brings out even the non-Nintendo fans, there's something that brings out nostalgia in you just seeing all those videos. And the orchestra was a really nice touch. So, any final thoughts on the press conferences, Mr. Patrick? Or shall we move on?
Oh, just saying you were talking about Luigi's Mansion there, and I didn't really talk too much about it. It is pretty interesting, and Glazenair might agree. When I was looking at the video, there's a scene, a couple scenes there where he's in a temple at the end. It's like some kind of haunted desert temple type thing.
Like
and
the
there's
mummy
another thing? Scene. Rich? What's that?
With the mummy?
Yeah, with the mummy. And then there's another scene where he's running into the screen and there's these knights that are statues of knights and they put their things. That looks, the difference between the video I watched and on the 3DS was like amazing. Like that was one of the best 3D effects if you go back and look. So
yeah, Bruce, you said that there really is. You said that there, you don't think you need to see the 3D, but you do.
Like, you're not going to get me to agree because we're running into the art thing again. 3D Schmiedi, it looks gorgeous. So I know it's going to look gorgeous plus in 3D. You got to understand, Glazenator. Once it gets past pretty, I don't care anymore. And B, I'm not a proponent of 3D. I'm hoping it doesn't completely take over from what we have now because I'm just not that into it. So maybe a lot of people need to see it in 3D to understand just how balls out gorgeous it looks, but I just seriously really don't. It just does not. I understand. I mean, I can look at those videos even in 2D and go, wow, that's going to look goddamn amazing in 3D. So the effects Patrick's talking about, maybe, but overall, at least for me personally, I don't think so. But so you were impressed with Luigi's Mansion video too, like Patrick, though, Glaze?
Yeah, you can, like, stuff flies at you, you know, when you're sucking the ghost, like, they'll come to the screen, you know, and turn around and stuff. And when you're, like, trying to get coins off of the ceiling, they fall down, you know, and it just, it has more of, like, depth to it, you know? It's easier to see where stuff is.
Well, it's funny you say that, because even in 2D, there, just before the night scene there, there was a ghost. Luigi's running one way. There's two ghosts on the screen, and one's really close to the screen in 2D. And even I went, oh, okay, one of the cool things that's going to be about that is that sucker's going to be coming at you. You know, and I mean, I've seen enough in 3D movies and so on that you could kind of pick up cues. So I think, too, why Luigi's Mansion was really cool to me, because that's the kind of game where having effects coming at your face or having the more depth that you're talking about is what 3D is really meant for, you know, so. But anyways, Glazenator, any final thoughts outside of you need to see it in 3D? No, you don't.
That's it.
I don't really have any final thoughts either, other than to say that, again, I just really don't understand, you know, why people shit all over Microsoft and Sony, and even some kind of went, at Nintendo. I don't know what some of these people are expecting from these press conferences, but they can't be like triple top secret, over the top announcements every year. I mean, I think as gamers, and I think even the gaming press has gotten so damn spoiled by some of the E3s that were just over the top, shock a minute surprises. And I'm sorry, you just can't do that every year. So on an overall basis, I don't think any of the press conferences were shit. I know I'm in the minority, but Microsoft has to showcase Kinect, you know, so I just, you got no choice. Obviously Nintendo got the most love, and from me too, but that had a lot to do with the fact that they finally showed off, the Wii U. So, but that was the press conferences, ladies and gentlemen. you heard us talk about it. Now we're going to move on to just talking about the Wii U. And then if we still got a little time, we might talk about some games we really liked at the show or whatever. I kind of gave the specs of the Wii U, Patrick. After I say this, I'm going to let you and Glacinator kind of hash it out. Only thing I'm going to tell you people is there's two things Nintendo did not talk about that they need to talk about. One is online play. They really, as far as I'm concerned, made a mistake not discussing more on online play. Even though the euphoria over the, ooh, look at the tablet controller and stuff, kind of kept people away from it, I'm seeing it start to creep back in now. I'm seeing people going, well, what's going to be like with online? Is this just going to be another Wii? And the second thing that they needed to talk about, in combined with actually playing online, is what are they going to do to replace Virtual Console and that garbage that they have now for a marketplace? I think, again, with this new console, the Wii U, that could very well be what does them in or what causes them to stumble. Other than that, from my personal take, I thought the Wii U was really well shown. I think it's an interesting piece of tech. I think the developers this time are really, really interested in it and want to find out what they can do, especially with the, you're on a 40-inch TV screen, oops, now you're on a 6-inch screen, you know, and some of the other cool things with motion and touch control that controller can do. So that's kind of my take. Now I'm going to turn it over to the Nintendo heads. Mr. Glacinator, let's go with you first. Tell us your thoughts on the Wii U.
This thing just looks really interesting just in general. As soon as you see it, ideas start like popping into your head about how you can use this in games. I've seen pictures of people trying to incorporate it with Minecraft where you have the TV showing what you're looking at and the tablet or whatever you want to call it is your inventory. And other stuff where, and if you're playing Fallout, the TV would be what you're seeing, and you're holding a Pip-Boy, you know, to scroll through your inventory, or even with something like Modern Warfare or Battlefield, where you go to use a UAV, and instead of having the whole screen taken up by the UAV, you're using the UAV with the tablet. So people have all kinds of ideas of how they can use it. It's interesting to see all these hardcore, I'm using air quotes right now, games come out, such as Darksiders and what else is coming out? BioShock, but apparently he didn't even know, so I didn't know that. So it's I'm glad to see Nintendo trying to get some of their hardcore audience back. Not that I necessarily care, but I do like the idea of being able to play a more serious game with joysticks and buttons instead of just wiggling around now. What else was I gonna say? The Smash Brothers as well. They didn't really say anything besides that it's coming. But I also heard that you can only use one controller, one new Wii U controller at a time, and the rest have to be Wii controllers. So I don't know if any of you guys ever played Smash Brothers, but you sort of have to play with the GameCube controllers because you can't. It's pretty much impossible to use a nunchuck or just a Wiimote. So it'll be interesting to see how you're going to do that. I'm not sure if the GameCube controllers still work with the Wii U. I hope they do because I love the GameCube controllers. But if not, honestly, I don't know how they're going to get true local multiplayer games to work besides just having one tablet and four normal controllers, which seems sort of awkward to me. They also showed off some tech demo games like Chase Me and a shooting game, which is sort of like the Pac-Man game that Pat likes to talk about. Other than that, I'm excited for this. I'm glad Nintendo is trying to appeal to what they used to appeal to. And let's see what happens.
Yeah, Levine said in an interview, or Levine, yeah, it's Levine, my bad. Sorry, Ken. That they weren't making it for the Wii U, and he had no idea how that got started. Mr. Patrick, also a Nintendo fan, give us your thoughts on the Wii U.
Well, it's honestly if I had to put it in a nutshell, I'll expand on it, but it's honestly too early to tell. With no real software running on it aside from some tech demos, which looked okay, the Zelda one looks really neat, but it doesn't look like you can do much aside from change weather patterns or night and day. It is too early to tell. It's interesting. I like the fact that there's a new Nintendo console. Every time there's been a new Nintendo console, it's been kind of magical. It's been kind of neat. There's been innovations from 3D gaming with the N64 to motions to everything, right? So it's cool. As a Nintendo fan who has basically every console, most of the handhelds, I'm interested in it. But it needs to convince me with software, needs to convince me with games. I already, you know, one thing that happened, and, you know, my fellow friend there, Carlos, is he did an extreme version of what I did, but I felt almost, not betrayed. Carlos would say betrayed, but I felt I got too excited for the original Wii, the original idea for the Wii, when they had their, you know, they had those weird trailers where they had people hiding behind couches and shooting with their Wiimotes, and it just never worked out as well as the original idea was for the Wii. So I don't want to get burned, I guess is a good word. I don't want to line up hours and hours beforehand at Best Buy and then a couple days later figure out it's not as good as I thought it would be. So I really like it, but I'm going to have to wait. You know, maybe this time next year they'll have all these games that are amazing and I'll be marking out over it. Maybe not even a year from now. Maybe at Space World or whatever the hell they have, if that even exists anymore. So I like the idea of the tablet thing. That's pretty neat. I'm still not 100% sure on the size. I've seen people with it, and it doesn't look that big, and then other times it looks big. I really like some of the stuff they've done with it. Like, when you hold it up to the screen, and then you move it to the left or move it to the right, you'll have a different picture, a different image, almost like a panoramic view than what's on the screen. So that's pretty neat. Switching back and forward is cool, too. I don't know. It's a very interesting idea. I think developers are going to jump on this faster than they did on the Wii. We're not just going to have Ubisoft come up with Rayman games and shitty, what was that first-person shooter that was terrible there with the swords. You know, we're going to have all sorts of developers jumping on it because of the success of the Wii. So the jury's out in my mind, really. I might be a fanboy at heart of Nintendo, but because of the disappointment I had with the Wii not living up to what I wanted, obviously it's hugely popular amongst people, I'm going to be, you know, I want them to prove it to me.
No, I understand exactly how you feel, Pat. I'd say that you're excited but cautious.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. That's how I feel as well.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I hear that word betrayal. And I apologize if I offend the two Nintendo fans sitting here and anybody in listening audience, minus maybe one. But the feelings of betrayal thing, all it really wants me make me do is lay my head down here on my desk and laugh myself into unconsciousness. Because honestly, companies don't owe you shit. But it was quite the shocker to see the fans' reaction to Nintendo's original Wii. But after the shellacking they took from Microsoft and Sony in the GameCube, it made total sense to me. But then again, I wasn't a fanboy. But betrayal, that I apologize. I know I'm being a dick, but that does kind of get me to chuckle. I'm kind of like these guys. I'm curious about this tech, and I'm very curious to see what this thing can do. But to wrap up the Wii U discussion, when I was watching the tech demo and the other videos for the Wii U, I'm also watching my Twitter feed. And I'm seeing all of these hardcore journalists going, wow, that looks really cool. And when the guy flung forced shoryukens, with, you know, by just touching across, swiping across the screen like you would on an iPhone or iPad, you know, people are going, oh my God, that's so great. The Nintendo is great. And I'm sitting there confused because 2 days before, a lot of these same people on my Twitter feed were shitting all over Kinect like there was no tomorrow. And so if anything, these press conferences and this console announcement has made me realize that psychologically gamers are addicted to a chunk of plastic. Because the only difference between what it appears this Wii U controller can do and Kinect is a touchscreen and a chunk of plastic. The only difference between Move or the Wii Motion Plus and Kinect, for the most part, is a chunk of plastic. Gamers, I guess this chunk of plastic thing psychologically is like their binky. It's like the blanket you had when you were like, you know, the Linus kid, 3 or 4 years old. But that thought never dawned on me until I watched people shit all over Kinect because you don't have a controller on Monday, and then watch them lose their shit. And I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of them, over this Wii U controller, when in reality, it's an iPad with motion control. So, that, I mean, really, out of the press conferences and stuff, that's what I realized. That the gamers, I think, a large majority of them are psychologically attached to plastic, to having something in their hands. I mean, I guess it's like smokers.
I don't think it's plastic. I think it's buttons. I think gamers really like buttons.
Well, whatever you want to call it, I think it's all of it. I think it's the comfort of having that chunk of plastic, personally. Patrick, I kind of mentioned this to you when we were playing on Xbox Live. Would you like to add any thoughts to my taking this into the Freudian psychology realm?
Well, definitely people have always had something, whether it was the weird little Atari controller or whether we went back to a little X-Pad or whatever you want to call it when the Super Nintendo and Nintendo days, and there's always been a physical, tangible way of controlling games. So, yes, I think a lot of gamers do feel the need to have something in their hands. A lot of them probably don't even give it a chance. They won't give something like Kinect a chance, which is funny because, you know, the people on Twitter, and I've said it before, is I don't use Twitter very much because, you know, when you were saying at one point earlier, oh, I'm in the minority when I say this, you're not in the minority. Kinect, as I said before, it broke a Guinness Book world record for sales. So the people who are in the minority, and this is why I don't use Twitter, are the people on Twitter. But because they're on this Twitter and they have some kind of weird conception that they just feel important by posting it. That's my rant on Twitter. But anyways.
Well, and I'm going to cut you down right there because I say Twitter because that's the one I watch, but also forums,
yeah,
gaming blogs. Twitter is
on the internet in general.
I'm sorry, but I'm even with the, and I think that Guinness Book of World Record was for units shipped, not sold. I don't care. I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you. I think that the numbers are actually 50-50. It pisses me off because a lot of them are really irrational idiots that haven't even attempted to use the thing. But I seriously think that it's more 50-50 than you think.
Well, I'm going to continue what I was saying now, and you can respectfully disagree when I'm finished next time. Thank you very much. But because you're being a dick, but you must be one of the 50% on Twitter then. But the point being, I think that people really – they do need something in their hands because they haven't given it a try. But I have to agree a little bit with these guys because there are certain games on Kinect that are probably better with something in your hand, like a shooting game, something like that. But other games like, oh, I don't know, volleyball, for example, I probably said this before. When you play volleyball, you don't have a piece of plastic in your hand. You don't have what looks like a remote control, a wire, and a nunchuck in your hand playing volleyball. You have your two hands. There's no controllers. So a lot of what Kinect has done, at least originally, with Dance Central, with whatever, right? With whatever that is, you don't need a controller, but I can see some things. I mean, one of the newest things on Kinect is you can scan household items or items you have and use those in games. So I could see people scanning something and using that as a gun in a game. So in a way, I sort of, I don't know, I kind of see where they're coming from, but I think you're right that they have some kind of Freudian thing where they need a piece of plastic or, as Gleason Air said, buttons in their hands. So I don't know, it's a tough one to say. I think you're right, and I don't know. It's weird.
Well, by the way, you're more than welcome to get pissed and call me a dick, but I think you're also grossly mischaracterizing Twitter just because I use it in specific examples. I mean, I'd be more than happy next time to waste way more time on air by saying every source I read, but Twitter's just easier. So my apologies, good sir. But that was just something I thought. That was just something I thought about. You know, it's funny because to watch the same people, no matter what format, crap all over one and then be happy with another, although they clearly show them using motion control, it's like, what is going on here? I mean, personally for me, if I had the money and the space, I would own Kinect just to see what it does because it's new tech and I like new tech and it's very cool. Does it mean it's going to work perfect? No, but anyway, it's enough. Let's move on to any games. There were a ton of games, and that was actually a good thing for E3 this year. I think last year, if I recall correctly, a lot of people were pissing and moaning about, you know, it was all tech and gadgets because of, again, Kinect and Move and not enough games. So let's, it's no real specific question. I guess the way we'll go with this to kind of wrap up our E3 since, you know, games is a part of that. Glacinator, give me one game above all that you saw during the week of the show, and the show is now officially over, that you loved, that you liked the best, or something of that realm.
Oh, God. can I just say all the 3DS games that are coming out? I mean, that's not one. But, I mean, if I had to limit it down to one, I guess I would have to say... I guess I'm excited for Mario Kart. Oh, God. Mario Kart, yep.
I mean, that's a fair and valid enough choice, but... It's like, out of all the games that are running around E3, you're going with Mario Kart. I'm going to give you one chance to change it.
One chance to change it? I'm going to say... That's like the hardest question in the world. Oh my God.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll move to Patrick. I'll move to Patrick and see if he's got a game for us. And I'll come back to you. Because that's the thing. I've got like two or three already that I got to talk about.
Bruce McGee's Mission Impossible here. There are so many games. And it's funny because... If I'm just going to go by my pure definition of why I play a game is to have fun, then I would actually also go with the Nintendo 3DS games, quite possibly Mario, the one with, what are they? They don't even have an official title, Glacinator, do they? It's just called Super Mario 3DS. Yeah, with a tail. Like, just the basic definition of fun. I mean, one of my favorite games 2 years ago was Super Mario Galaxy, and this looks like Galaxy plus 64 plus a little bit of Mario 3 on the side. So I think because there's so many games here, there's so many awesome games. Battlefield looks incredible. BioShock looks incredible. I'm going to go with my just absolute, the roots of why I play games is for fun. And this game might be simple in terms, you know, it's no, what's that awesome game that even I was interested in, Bruce, that Skyrim? I mean, that game looks phenomenal.
Oh, Elder Scrolls V.
That game looks phenomenal, just the detail in that. But I'm going to do this. I play games for fun. The game that looked like would be the most fun for me would be Super Mario 3DS or whatever they're calling it.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's funny because I'm actually kind of in the same boat. Which I just wanted to give Glacinator the opportunity. And while I'm talking, Pat, if you think of another one, you're more than welcome. I'm kind of in the same thing. The one that made me go, wow, I just could sit down and play that for a long time. It's not competitive. It's not, you know, bordering on being a dick because you're playing competitively or doing whatever. And we all know, you know, that happens to be more than most was Luigi's Mansion. It just, even without the 3D, it just looked like a lot of fun. And that is, honestly, when I decided to ask this question, I decided to ask it without prompting them yesterday because I was a little shocked at myself when I sat down and thought about it, that really it was Luigi's Mansion that looked just the most fun. I mean, yeah, Skyrim looks amazing. I know I'll play it. Battlefield 3 and its tank demo blew me away, you know, blew my mind. But there were a lot of games, a lot of the big AAA dead serious titles that just looked awesome. But really, I'm going to go with these guys. You know, the 3DS games, and for me personally, even though I don't own the 3DS, Luigi's Mansion just looked like a ton of fun.
I think a lot of reason for that is because we have seen a lot of like gameplay and trailers for all these big releases like Modern Warfare, not necessarily Modern Warfare, but with Battlefield, we've seen gameplay already in Assassin's Creed. I know I'm going to play those games, but first seeing the gameplay of these new Nintendo games was really exciting because we hadn't seen how it works yet. So I know I'm going to play Battlefield, I'm going to play Assassin's Creed, but the Nintendo games are what really have me excited just because I hadn't seen them before.
Well, Patrick brought up a good point, and this is how we'll close the show before Patrick's spiel on E3. Patrick brought up a good point because I was impressed and surprised to see him comment when I posted that Skyrim trailer, because it is amazing, and you're fighting a freaking dragon. Glacier, we'll go with you first. Were there any games that you either didn't know about or weren't too sure about that seeing some of the better tech demos or some of the playthroughs that you're now going, wow, I actually want to see more of that or I want to play it?
I'm going to have to go with Skyrim as well. I really like watching I don't necessarily like playing those type of games, but this sounds really lame, but I really like watching my brother play them. I don't know, because I feel like it's more of like a movie experience in a way, because it's so in-depth. So I'm looking forward to getting Skyrim for my brother for Christmas or something and watching him play it, because it looks really good. So,
Patrick, if it's Skyrim 2, that's great. Are there any that didn't have on your radar before that now you're like, wow, I might want to play that?
Tomb Raider. I thought maybe it was just me, but I think this reboot of Tomb Raider was really quite good. Now, I was watching it on a crappy feed at the time, and I'm not 100% sure what of that was real time and what was that was rendered. You could tell at the end it was rendered when they pan out and you see all the ships, and at the beginning that's got to be rendered too. When I don't know if it's her father or whoever it is reaching for her and she falls into the ocean or whatever. I understand that part is probably rendered, but I mean, it was really well done when she was in those tight little caves and all that stuff. And, you know, there was some suspense and guys grabbing her, and I'd grab her too, even if she's a little more proportional now. But I really thought Tomb Raider, like, I had no interest in Tomb Raider. I played the first Tomb Raider, thought it was good, with those triangular titties, and then I forgot about the entire franchise. I couldn't care less. This looks really good. Maybe it's just me, but Tomb Raider, just to be different, yes, Skyrim is something. I think maybe, Bruce, when you buy the game, you put up a live feed somewhere, because I'll have to watch someone who's good at it play, just like Gleisner said, he wants to watch his brother play. But I'm going to go with Skyrim, and to be different, Tomb Raider really impressed me more than I thought.
Well, you actually nailed mine, and I have no problem with that, because I'm glad we talked about it. Again, quoting the evil Twitter, one of the funniest things I heard during the whole entire E3 was, can't remember who it was, maybe it was Jeff Gertzman, said, wow, Laura's looking really well after the breast reduction surgery. And I mean, that just had me laughing, but boob jokes aside, some of the grunting and groaning was getting a little old to me, but I've since gone back and watched that trailer again, or watched at least the feed cut into a trailer. I think the portions where she's running for it and having to solve the little quick time puzzles or whatever, I think all that's in game. And Tomb Raider was one. I mean, Skyrim I knew I was going to play. I loved Oblivion, loved Morrowind. Love Morrowind, maybe pushing it, but liked Fallout 3 a lot, and plus Bethesda's got a new engine now, so hopefully it'll work better than Fallout did. And of course, Battlefield 3, you know, I already knew I was going to buy that. But yeah, Tomb Raider was one I did not have on my radar. I think the last one I played might have been Tomb Raider Legends. It was a couple of Tomb Raiders back. It was decent, but it wasn't nothing mind blowing. But this one looks really, really good. It may be a reboot that actually does what a reboot's intended to do. So there you go. I guess that pretty much wraps it up. Any final thoughts from either of you? I really got nothing left to say about E3. I mean, we've kind of covered everything there was to cover. Any final thoughts? Anything you thought I missed while we were talking?
No, I'm E3'd out.
Yeah, I am too. All righty, Patrick, why don't you tell them how they can get a hold of us if they dare, like you do every week, and we'll get the hell out of here.
Okay. Everybody knows that after listening to our E3 extravaganza and going to our website, wonderpodonline.com, there's all sorts of content there. Yes, there's a ton of E3 stuff. Bruce has been putting out a ton of videos. I've been putting out stuff. Believe it or not, once you clear through all the E3 stuff, there's also great stuff there. There's wrestling content. There's all sorts of good stuff there. So check out wonderpodonline.com. You can download this podcast that you're listening to directly to your MP3 listening device of choice or to your hard drive or both. I don't know. If you don't like Apple, if you like Apple, you can check us out on Apple TV and, of course, on the famous iTunes. Give us a rating. Do something. I don't know. Facebook. Check us out on Facebook. WonderPod Online. It's actually three words. I don't know why I did that. Actually, I do, because that was my first, middle, and last name they made me do. So, WonderPod Online on Facebook. We got lots of friends. It's been a few weeks since we've had any activity there. Ask us a question. Give us a shout out. We'll plug. We don't know. We'll do anything. Aside from that, we got some YouTube videos on there. And at this moment, the entire G family, whether it's Cosmonaut G or Audio Master G or even that mysterious Gamer Man X, the masked wrestler himself, they would like to do, speaking of shout-outs, they would like to do a shout-out to Chris off MySpace. So there you go, a great shout-out to a good guy. I like his videos. I think we all do. That's Chris off MySpace. Check it out. Check out his content. One more thing. We get a lot of hate mail. Maybe we'll get some mail out of this episode. I hope so. Controversy is always good. Send us an email. Bruce McGee, what is our email address?
Our email address is wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. And to add to the G family shout-outs, yes, go watch Chris off MySpace's videos. They're funny as hell. And on that note, until episode 68, I am Bruce McGee. I am glad E3 is over, and I'm fucking out of here. See ya.
Goodbye.
Well, boys, this has been real educational and all, but now let's part with that old EA Sports saying. Get the fuck out of my building.
Goodbye, everyone.